Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're talking more about magnifying God. When we magnify God, we make Him bigger in our eyes. God is small to many of us. We might not admit that, but we look at our problems and they seem huge compared to God because He seems so far away from us, because we see ourselves as so messed up. We know how much we failed and we know our flaws. And we figure He might not come through for us. But nowhere is the tone of the New Testament grovel before God in fear and unworthiness. The tone is come boldly, come confidently to God. When we magnify God and see Him as He truly is, we'll see His love for us, and it gives us confidence before God. One reason God is small to us is because we try to understand the plan of salvation and the plan of God. We try to understand it in the middle of the story. That's what we've been dealing with this week. We start with ourselves. We're born into a fallen race. We're guilty of sin before a holy God. And we continually struggle with, how could God want me? How could God love me? How could God, why would He want to help me? But that's starting in the middle of the story. And we've been making the point this week that your history with God did not begin when you committed your first sin. It didn't even begin when you were born into a fallen race. You've always been in the mind of God. There's never been a time when He did not know you or know of you. He actually created you in Adam. In Adam, we discussed that in detail yesterday. He created you in Adam, and He made you very good. God's first comment, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, His first comment about His creation was, He looked at it and said, it's very good. But man in Adam went astray into sin and destruction. But Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And this is what we're focusing on for the last couple of days here. Jesus came to restore men to that original picture or image God has had of us since eternity past, and to show us what that perfect picture looks like. See, we made the point that there is a sense in which Jesus is the unique Son of God. He's the only man who existed before He was born. Now, let me back up a minute in case you weren't with us yesterday. Jesus is God become a man without ceasing to be God. And there is a sense in which He is the unique Son of God. He is the only man who existed before He was born into this world. He is the only one qualified to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. But there is a sense in which Jesus is only the first in a line of men like Himself. Romans 8:29 says, for whom God did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, there's God's plan right there, to conform us to the image of Jesus, to make us like the pattern of His Son. And the verse goes on to say that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Weymouth's translation there says, the eldest in a vast family of brothers. Jesus came to seek and save God's lost family. And all who come back to Father's house by putting faith in Christ and repenting of their sins can be created anew, become new creatures. As new creatures, we put off the old man and put on the new man. Colossians chapter 3 verse 10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. The new creature is not new to God. It is the image or picture He has had of us since eternity past. Let me read you a couple of translations of this. You must be quit of the old self and the habits that went with it. You must be clothed in the new self that is being refitted, so that the image of the God who created it is its pattern. Let me reread that part. You must be clothed in the new self that is being refitted, so that the image of the God who created it is its pattern. See, when you were born again and became a new creature, we all preach new creature, but most of us don't really believe it. God didn't look at you and say, well, that's a surprise. No, that's been the plan. Since before God formed the earth, to have men in his image. Weymouth's translation says, and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being remolded into full knowledge so as to become like him who created it. We're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. William's translation says, stop lying to one another, for you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is in the process of being made new in the likeness of its creator, so that you may attain a perfect knowledge of him. Now, there's tons of stuff in this verse we're not talking about. And I know there's a lot of things we're not talking about. All I want you to see this week is God knows a perfect you, and salvation is not just getting your sins forgiven so you can go to heaven when you die. Thank God, that's all part of it. But that there's so much more to it. Salvation is about being made like Jesus through the operation of God's life in you, eternal life. Salvation is about being restored to the perfect picture that God has always had in his mind of you since eternity past. To be conformed to the image of Christ means to be made like the man Jesus in his humanity, a perfect son in loving relationship with the Father, fully expressing the Father. Salvation is the original image and likeness of God being brought into manifestation in every part of our being by the power of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Let me read this out of Phillips' translation. It says, but all of us who are Christians have no veils on our faces, but reflect like mirrors the glory of the Lord. We are transfigured by the Spirit of the Lord in ever-increasing splendor into his own image. The King James there says, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that image from one degree of glory to another, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God's plan is to restore us to that. See, he made man in his image and in his likeness. Genesis 1:26 tells us that. We fell into sin in our ancestor Adam, and we all are guilty of sin before a holy God. But God's plan is to restore us to that original picture. That's what salvation is all about. It is a process that begins at the new birth, when your spirit is made alive with the life of God, and it will be fully completed at the rapture of the church and the resurrection of the dead. Whole can of worms for another day. But the point for our discussion is this. God made man in part as a means of expressing himself. Jehovah means the self-existent one who reveals himself. God's creation is a manifestation of himself. God's creation is an expression of himself. Psalm 19, verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Lots in that verse we're not going to talk about, but both of those verses show us that God has expressed himself through his creation. Well, man, made in the image and likeness of God, is the fullest expression of God. Think about it. When God chose to give us the highest revelation of himself, he did it by becoming a man, the man Jesus. Jesus as a man, fully God, fully man, but on earth he did not live as God, he lived as a man. Jesus as a man fully expressed God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, not because I am the Father, but because the Father is perfectly expressed through me. I do his works and speak his words by his life, by his power in me. Jesus was not expressing or demonstrating his deity here when he made these statements. Remember John 10 or John 14? The Philip said, "Show us the Father." And he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I do his works and speak his words by his power in me." In John 6:57, he said, "I live by the Father." Jesus was not expressing or demonstrating his deity. He was demonstrating the purpose for which men were created, to reveal God, to express God. We are the image and likeness of God. Men, even in their fallen condition, still bear the image of God. We are meant to express God, his character, his power. Jesus came to model that for us and then to restore us to that through the cross, which made the new birth possible. Jesus showed us the reason we exist, to express God and to live in relationship with God. He is our Father and we are his sons. That's the relationship he wants with us. We're talking about seeing God as he truly is, magnifying God by seeing his plan as it truly is. Now, why does this matter? Well, knowledge of God's plan, of your destiny, which is restoration to the image and likeness of God, which is complete conformity to the image of Christ, the perfect Son, has a purifying effect. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 2, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now listen to this. "And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You know, we have got to get the point beyond the point where we think like this. If I commit this sin, will I go to hell? Is God going to punish me for this sin? God's plan has never been about punishing sin. I'm not saying there isn't punishment for sin. There is. But God's plan is about restoring you to your original image. And that knowledge will help you live above sin. Magnifying God will help you live above sin. Knowledge of God's plan will help you fulfill the purpose for which you were created. You're here to know God relationally and then to show him or express him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, "As he is in this world, so are we." Let me read Philip's translation. "So our love for him grows more and more, filling us with complete confidence for the day when he shall judge all men, for we realize that our life in this world is actually his life lived in us." You need to understand God's plan. That knowledge will help you magnify God. When God looks at you, he sees his image and likeness, and it's very good, and he who has begun a good work in you will complete.
You've been listening to Diane Kenner. Amen. Let's face it, everyone is busy these days, and when it comes to God's Word, there's a lot to learn. Diane can help you maximize your study time. For starters, you can order this week's lesson on tape or CD, or join Diane every Friday night for a live, in-depth teaching right here in St. Louis, Missouri, with worship provided by Mercy's Child. We meet at 7:30 p.m. each Friday at 4720 Jameson, right in the heart of beautiful St. Louis Hills. You'll be in the company of believers with like faith and passions. And we hope to see you this Friday. You can become a group leader and use Riches in Christ Bible study material. We will provide lessons on tape or CD with a study guide for everyone in your group. Call us for details. Send this teaching forth by partnering with us. Monthly partners help pay for radio time and receive our best teachings. Diane provides a website with MP3 audio, downloadable study guides, and much more. Visit www.richesinchrist.com. For more information, call us toll-free at 1-888-739-6619. That's toll-free 1-888-739-6619.